Today's Bible reading is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 31. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne." Let us pray for Pastor Lee. O God, may you bless Pastor Lee and keep instilling wisdom in him. Be with Pastor Lee, O Lord, and fill him with love, so he can gently guide us and care for us like your flock. Through him, we learn your word, and we are grateful for you making him our pastor. Thank you, Pastor Lee, for you have been a good shepherd. You have led God's flock to him, and you continue to preach to us unconditionally. May your preaching of the Holy Gospel be written on our hearts. Amen.
What a blessing. Thank you, Stephen. You're in good voice this morning, by the way, church. I don't know if you noticed. You noticed Ian closed the door partway through. It's not often the youth work thinks we're too noisy, is it? And so this was due to be the last of this little series looking at what Jesus says about his return in Matthew 24 and 25. But I've split the message in half this week, and in a fortnight's time, we're going to pick up again the next parable in Matthew 25, really because of what I think God's been saying to us. And Jean brought a word to us a few weeks ago that she felt God was saying, you know, what are you doing with what I have given you? And I sensed the same thing that morning, and it was in the sermon that morning. And this passage that we've looked at this week is all about that, isn't it? What are we doing with the gift that God has given us of salvation? So I felt we needed to spend a little bit longer on this morning, and then in 2 weeks' time we'll pick up the second part of this parable, the sheep and the goats. And this is a well-known parable, isn't it? It's one that we know well. We often use it as a standalone parable. But in doing so, I wonder if we've taken away some of what Jesus intended from his words when we've done that. You know, this is a great parable to use. You know, when you need to do something and you want it to be of Christian value, but it can't be overtly of Christian value. For me, this is the great passage I use for like the school leavers service, where we can say, you've got great talents, go and change the world, do this and you'll get more and all this kind of stuff. But the other thing I think we've done in the Western world that the rest of the world hasn't done is we've read something into this passage that was never really intended. The NIV translation that Stephen read from, that I'm reading from, it uses the phrase bags of gold, but a lot of translations translate the literal from the Greek that it was a talent of gold. A talent was a particular weight. But what we've done is in the Western world, we've read that as talents and gone, oh, that's our soft skills. It's the things we're good at, the things we learn to do. It's those gifts that we have. And so we've read into it that the word talent means those things, where actually Jesus was meaning something slightly different in this. And it's all found in the context of it. A talent is a weight, and it was a weight of gold. One talent of gold was 20 years' worth of a day laborer's wage. And so what we're seeing in this is great extravagance. So when the master gives 5 talents of gold, 5 bags of gold, that's 100 years worth of salary right there. We're seeing great extravagance here. And so we need to look at what the context is. And one word puts us in context. And it's the first word we see in verse 14. Again. Jesus starts this parable with the word again. And that word again locates this parable in the context of what Jesus has been saying in those past few chapters. That things are going to get worse in the world. That we as the church are to be awake and alert and ready. We're to see the signs in the world around us that Jesus is going to return again someday. That one day those who know him and don't will be separated. And then Jesus echoes the same thing in this chapter. It's time for us to be awake and alert and ready because he's going to come back at a time we don't expect him. And we've been given this wonderful gift of salvation that's greater than any other gift. And at the end of time, those of us who have that gift, who know Jesus, will be with him for eternity. So Jesus is saying the same thing again. This is in the context of Jesus' return. Again, Jesus uses the language of a master and a slave. A master who will return at a time when nobody expects him to. And a separation at the end of all time. But here Jesus adds another layer in, and it's this. There's an additional focus, that of responsibility. What are you doing with the gift I have given you? If we go back to Matthew 24, verse 46, in that little parable that Jesus told there about the faithful, wise servant who was working hard, we read this in verse 46. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. That we should have a lifestyle where we're living out the gospel of Jesus in what we do and in what we say. For when Jesus returns will be a moment we do not know. And so to pick up from last week, we've got the oil of faith, and with that comes the Holy Spirit in our lives. We've got the lamps. Jesus is returning. And so now is the church. It's time for us to wake up, and there's something for us to do. We need to trim the wicks in those lamps so that they burn even brighter until that day when Jesus becomes. And it's not that our lifestyle earns our salvation. Our salvation is a free gift from God. Jesus is a free gift. And his death on the cross, he paid everything so that we receive that freedom from him. But what does that lifestyle look like? Well, it looks like this. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. That the master gives us the greatest gift of all. Salvation is the greatest gift of all, and it is a free gift that God gives to us. All of the servants in this passage were given gold in abundant measure, as we said, 100 years worth, 50 years worth, 20 years worth. This is an incredible amount, and it's a free gift. Romans 3 verse 25 says, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. All of us who choose to put our faith in Jesus receive that gift of eternal life. We receive that free gift because Jesus paid it all upon the cross. The gift is for all. But we all have different levels of faith at times, don't we? In Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 to 8, Jesus tells a parable about a man who goes out and scatters seed. And in telling that parable, Jesus talks about how some people, that seed will land on rocky ground and it just doesn't grow. Some people hear the good news of Jesus and they never make a choice of faith. For some, it goes on the thin soil and it kind of grows up, but the sun burns it, its roots aren't deep enough. For others, the weeds grow. But in verse 8, Jesus says, I'll read it to us. He says, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The same gift, but different measures of results through there. When we look at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to all of us in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10, what we see is the Holy Spirit gives different gifts to the church. But in verse 7, it says it's all for the common good. We all receive gifts, but they're different gifts. We all have the same faith in Jesus. We all receive the same gift of salvation, but it's going to look different in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. We have the same faith in Jesus, but sometimes we have different levels of faith. We have different gifts, different aspects of what God has given us to do. Paul then continues in Ephesians 4 from verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. God gives different measures and different gifts. There's no one size fits all in the kingdom. This is the amazing thing, isn't it? God doesn't treat us as Christians. God treats us as individuals. He knows you. He loves you. We're not some kind of religious robot that all do the same thing. God created us as individuals. God gifts us as individuals. And God loves us as individuals. He loves you. He loves you as you are. And he wants you to be available for him to use those gifts that he's given you, to work with him so that his kingdom will come even more in your own life and in the lives of those around you. All of us have got different gifts, and therefore we've all got different opportunities to serve in our own way. You might notice in the passage here that the master gives the gold, but he doesn't tell them what to do with it. He gives no instruction. Why is that? Because it's for them to see the opportunities that are before them. You and I have been given the gift of salvation, but God hasn't told us what to do with it. He leaves it for us to see the opportunities of how and where to share that gift, because it's going to look different in your life than it will for my life, because we're gifted differently. God has created us as individuals, and there's something for everybody. You know, even in verse 27, where the master's speaking quite harshly to the servant who didn't sow, he said, well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. See, even for those who might struggle to share their faith or struggle in certain ways, there's still something we can do. There was something that would have been acceptable for that servant. He could have simply just put it on interest. We might not all be extroverted evangelists who can speak to anybody on the street and tell them what Jesus has done in their lives. But all of us can be kind and generous and hospitable and prayerful. All of us can have a meal with somebody or a coffee with somebody. All of us can show what God has done in our life in some way. And in some ways, it doesn't matter the outcome. What matters is that we do something. You see, the response of the master was the same for both the person who had five bags of gold and the one who had two bags of gold. In verse 21 and 23, the response is the same. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." It didn't matter that one got five bags of gold more and the other got two bags of gold more. They both got the same response. It wasn't about the volume of the return. It was that there was a return. They had a different assignment, but they got the same reward. And the outcome of us sharing our faith in our lives will look very different from the person next to us, because the opportunities you have in your life are different. because the places you spend your time, the gifts that God has given you, but all of us have opportunities to hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. I love the story at the end of 1 Samuel of King David. King David and his men have been on out in battle, and they return from battle having been victorious, and they come back and they find that their camp has been overtaken, and their wives and their children have been taken, all their tent, all their kind of stuff has been taken away. And so David and his men, exhausted from the battle, decided they need to go back out and they need to go and get their wives and their children. They need to go and fight another battle to win the victory. But the problem is half of the soldiers are exhausted. And so David says, those of you who are too tired to fight, you stay and look after the provisions that we still have. And the rest of us, we will go and fight the battle. This is where we pick up the story of what happens. This is 1 Samuel chapter 30, from verses 21 to 24. Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and who were left behind at the Bezor Valley. They came out to meet David and the men with him. As David and his men approached, he asked them how they were. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, because they didn't go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man may take his wife and his child and go. David replied, no, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and delivered into our hands the raiding party that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as that of him who went down to the battle. All will share alike. Some of them stayed with the provisions. Some of them went out to battle. But you know, they all played a different part, but they all played an essential part. And so they all received the same reward. And that's the same as what Jesus is saying in this parable here, that God has given you the gift of salvation. He's given us different gifts and different measures of faith. And we all have opportunities in our lives that will look different to share of the good news of Jesus. It doesn't matter if the person next to you has seen thousands of people come to know Jesus because they've been on a platform or whatever it may be, and you've just been working away at loving the person next to you. And they've come closer to God in some way, but you don't know the full result. It doesn't matter. You've been faithful with the gift that God has given you. We've all played our part. So, some of us can cook. Some of us can share. Some of us can preach. Some of us can invite. Some of us can pray. Some of us can dance. Some of us can sing. We all have a different assignment, but we're all called to play a part in the body to see people come to know Jesus, to make disciples. No matter how small a difference you think you're making for the kingdom of God, if you're working in such a way as to make a difference, know that there will be a return. But you know, you may never see it. You may never see it. But the response from the master is the same. Come and share in your master's happiness. I was really moved last week when we sang All Heaven Declares. Jill was leading last week and we sang the song All Heaven Declares, the glory of the risen Lord. I was deeply moved as we sang that song. Forever he will be the Lamb upon the throne. And I realized at the end of the song, I'd had my eyes closed the whole way through, which isn't like me because I'm not very good at remembering song lyrics. And I was thinking later on, how did I manage that? And this is what moved me most. I remembered when I was in year four in junior school, that a new teacher started in the school, a year three teacher, and she took over the singing assemblies in school, and she was a Christian, and she taught that song to the school. All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord. It wasn't a Christian school. She taught us in different ways. She taught us to just sing it like as we sung it last week all the way through. She taught us to sing it where, you know, the boys sing the boys' bit and the girls sing the girls' bit. And then she taught us it some weeks that if you're on that half of the room, you sing the boys' bit, and if you're on that half, you sing the girls' bit. It doesn't matter whether you're a boy or a girl. She taught us it in the round. This third, you sing the verse, this bit, you sing the chorus, this bit. And she taught us it over and over again. And I was just so profound because I thought, wow. How old are you when you're in year four? You're what, eight years old, something like that? And I was taught that song. And I thought, she will never know that when I was 14 years old, God impacted my life. When I was in my mid-20s, God impacted my life. I've stood here today declaring the glory of the risen Lord. And I wonder if it was that there were seeds that were sown in my life in those moments of singing that song that she will never know about. But you know, she was faithful with the gold that God had given her. Professional teacher, she can't preach the gospel in a classroom. Of course she can't. She had to teach the whole spectrum of RE and everything else. But she was faithful with the gift that God had given her. I can do the singing assemblies. I'll teach the children some songs. And who knows that God worked in my life through that song in that moment. I might have never realized it. And so you know what's happening with it? You know the guy that he had 5 talents of gold and he got 5 more as a reward? But then at the end, what happened in verse 28? For the wicked servant, the master said, take that bag of gold off him. Give it to the one who's got the 10. What's going on there? I wonder if that's symbolic of the impact that we never realized we made. I wonder if for that teacher from however many 20 years ago, whatever, I wonder one day when she stands before the Lord, there'll be people there in heaven that she knows, and she'll hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. And he'll say, oh, and here's another one over here. That little cheeky boy who sat in the assembly hall, he had a blonde bowl head. If you're my age, you'll know what that means. And this one over here, and this one over here. I wonder if one day we'll stand before the Lord and there'll be people that he says, take that one from over there and bring it over to here. Because you've made a difference in the lives of people that you never even knew about. No matter how small a difference you think you're making for the kingdom, there will be a reward because God makes the difference. So what about this servant that did nothing then? Let's have a look at his life. Verse 24, then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was so afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. What's the difference here? Do you know, I think one of the biggest differences is what we see in verse 25. So I was afraid. The slave was afraid of what could have gone wrong. He was afraid of being rejected by the master, afraid of feeling a failure, of letting others down, of how others might view him. He was afraid, and so he did nothing. How many of us have held back from sharing our faith for fear? Fear that we're going to be outcast, fear that we're going to look weird, fear that people are going to reject us in some way. So he did nothing. Or maybe it was a fear of nothing happening, a lack of expectation. What happens if I invest the money and nothing comes back? Maybe it was fear that he wouldn't get a reward. Maybe it was a complacency. But also, I think there's a fear here because of a negative view of the master. Listen to his words in verse 24. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. You're a hard man. It implies that his view of the master was one who would punish, who was out to catch him out in some way, who was out to trip him up if he didn't get the reward, the earnings back that he wanted from his investment. He'd be demanding, unforgiving, looking to punish in some way. And there are people in the world who hold that view of God. And I wonder if deep down, any of you here today have that view of God. That he's waiting to catch you out. That he's waiting to trip you up. That you don't want to mess things up, because if you mess things up, you wonder how God will react or respond. I want you to know today, if that's you, that that's not how God works. God is gracious and kind and merciful and forgiving. And when we get it wrong, he welcomes us back time and time and time again. You see, fear is a lie of the enemy. We've been set free from fear. The coming of Jesus should set us free from fear because he paid the price for everything. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 16 says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. If your view of God has been one that if you mess things up, that you're fearful of God because he'll punish you, he's waiting to trip you up, you need to know today that God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. He's not trying to trip you up. You don't need to fear. He's gracious and compassionate and forgiving. The slave depicted this master as harsh, as punishing. But actually what we see of the master is extravagant generosity. He gave 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold, 1 bag of gold, 20 years worth of a day labor's wages, 40 years worth, 100 years worth of money, and then he doubled it. We see outrageous generosity, an abundant reward. How many of us have held back from sharing our faith because of fear, fear of rejection, of being laughed at, or of getting it wrong? How many have got complacent deep down, or just not expecting that God will move? You see, faith sharing takes a risk, and risk taking requires faith. James writes in James 2 verse 18, someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. But know this, even on the moments when we've missed the opportunity or we haven't shared our faith, know this, God works in spite of us. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. God works in spite of us. But the harvest is so much greater when we work with him. God, through the Holy Spirit, is at work in people's lives. The harvest does not depend on us. God can and will and does harvest where we have not sown. He will gather seeds where we haven't scattered them, but the harvest is so much greater when we work with God in his saving work, when we take our place as a faithful servant, when we work with God. Where the gold was used wisely, the harvest was greater, but where it was hidden, there was no difference. I think we need to ask ourselves as a church, locally, nationally, globally, have we hidden our talent in Sunday? Have we buried our talent of the gospel in Sundays? Have we become churchgoers to consume, to sing the songs we like, to get the blessing we like, and then we bury it away in our life until the next time we come again? Or has Sunday become the storehouse where we gain more investment to go into the world, to go and invest the gold more and more? Why was the reaction of the master so strong to the servant that did nothing? It's because God's desire is to work with us. He's given us this extravagant gift, and his desire is to work with us. And that servant didn't work with him. When God created Adam and Eve, they were to work with him in the garden, to walk with him, to love him, to enjoy him, to enjoy his presence, to enjoy the creation. His desire is to work with us, or more specifically, for us to work with him. It's why in the Old Testament, Israel was called out among the nations, that they would be a light to the nations. It's why Jesus invested in 12 young men to go and change the world. It's why the Great Commission was given to go and make disciples. God's not bothered about the decisions, it's disciples. It's why the Holy Spirit was given. God can and does work despite us, but his desire is that we will join with him in his saving work. Theologians, if you want a posh phrase for the day, theologians call this the Missio Dei, the mission of God in the world. And we are called to join in with that. If we don't take up the invite, God will still work. Salvation will still come about. Disciples will still be made. But the harvest will be so much greater when we take what he has given us and we invest it so that others come to see and know who Jesus is. That's the context this passage is set in. It's what we'll see in 2 weeks' time, that there's going to be a separation of those who know him and those who don't. We're the ones who've received the gold, and it's our job to invest it in the world so that others come to know him. God has given us the gold, but he's not given us the instructions on how to do with it. Instead, he sets the opportunities before us for us to see. Our faith shouldn't be hidden, but should help others come into the kingdom. It will look different for every single one of us in our lives. And we don't need to fear, for God is with us. Some may reject us. Some may think we're weird. But at least we've had a go. Maybe today you feel guilty because you've had missed opportunities. Remember that God works despite our efforts and our failures, and that he loves you and accepts you as you are. His return is imminent, but it might not be immediate. But we should work as if it is, as if it will be tomorrow. God has given you this wonderful gift of gold. What are you going to do with it this week? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your extravagant gift of salvation. When we think of the amount of gold each of those servants was given in that story, 100 years worth, and then doubled, and then another one added to it. Lord, we think of the gift of salvation and the price Jesus paid, and we are blown away at your extravagance. And we thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in our life. Forgive us for the times we've buried away that wonderful message of what you've done. Help us to see the opportunities you set before us this week, to be kind, to be generous, to be loving, to speak of you in words and also in deeds. And we trust and believe that you will work with the little that we have to offer for the sake of your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.